March 12th, 2007. It's the Lullabot Podcast.
Lullabot Podcast.
Hi, it's Jeff Robbins back with episode number 32 of our weekly, semi-weekly Drupal podcast. This week we've got an interview with Dries Burtart, who is the project lead of Drupal, and we're going to talk about Drupal 5 and the Drupal 5 release and how that came out. That came out about a month ago, something like that, and the Drupal 6 release that's sort of on the horizon. That'll be the next version of Drupal and starting to come together, and we're going to talk about a little bit about that. Also wanted to mention that there's a couple of events you should know about coming up. The OSCMS Summit, if you go to oscms-summit.org, you can get there, is happening at Yahoo and DrupalCon. There's a big Drupal presence there. At this point, actually, it's mostly Drupal, is happening. That's happening on March 22nd and 23rd. On March 24th, if you want to stick around in Sunnyvale, California for an extra day, we've got a Drupal Performance and Scalability Seminar that's going to be happening. That is, all the proceeds from that will go to the new Drupal Association, which is the Drupal nonprofit stuff to support Drupal stuff. Anyways, you can find out information about that on lullabot.com/training. Also in April, we've got a Drupal API and module building workshop happening in Providence, Rhode Island, and an advanced Drupal theming workshop happening in Providence, Rhode Island as well. Again, lullabot.com/training for more information about that. Without further ado, here is my interview with Dries Burtart. I always mess up your last name. Pronounce, please?
Burtart.
Okay. Wasn't that far off.
It's pretty close. You're amongst the better pronunciation.
Well, my Dutch is proving better than your English, at least in the first few moments of this podcast.
Yes.
I'm sure you will show me up in both languages by the end. So how are you? How you've been really busy. We've been having a really hard time connecting recently. What have you been up to?
Lots of stuff, really. On the one hand, lots of work for my day job at the University of Ghent. And on the other hand, lots of Drupal stuff going on, like the Drupal 5 release was a rather busy time. We were preparing a conference at Yahoo, and we are working on launching the Drupal Association. So lots of stuff going on.
Exciting. And your day job is all Java. It's not Drupal stuff, right?
Right. It's all about Java. And it's about optimizing Java virtual machines and getting to know or understand Java applications. So it's more at the virtual machine level than at the Java application level.
Ah. And so basically there's no relationship between that and Drupal.
No, not really.
But cool. Well,
that's okay. It makes for
exactly. You don't get burned out on Drupal by the end of the day when you spend when you decide to leave your 8 hours at your job and sit down for an additional 8 hours on Drupal. It's like a whole fresh start for your day.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about the Drupal 5 release and how that went. And we put up some videos on like the new features and upgrading and stuff like that. And you can find those on lullabot.com, but also on drupal.org, right? And what are the things that you're excited about in Drupal 5, and like how's it sort of coming together in your opinion?
Well, first of all, I think Drupal 5 is the best release we ever had. It's really a major step forward, especially from a user's point of view. What are the best things about it? It's really hard to say. I think for me, it's really the combination of all the new things in Drupal 5, like the installer, the new team, Garland, jQuery, the new administration pages and stuff like that. And all these things combined, they sort of make for a refreshing new experience. And it's really the combination of all these things which make me so excited about Drupal 5.
Cool. You'd put up an article on your personal blog recently about Drupal 5 performance, and that looks pretty good too.
It basically shows that for anonymous users or for pages which are served from Drupal's page cache, we get a tremendous improvement compared to 4.7. I think it's about 70% improvement with the regular database caching, and about, I don't remember the exact numbers, but I think about 250% improvement with the aggressive database caching, which is a new feature in Drupal 5. And then for authenticated users or for users we can serve a cached page for, we get slightly slower, about 3% slower. So if you with all the new features we added to Drupal 5, a 3% slowdown, I think it's really worth it. So
cool.
I think overall, we did a good job. And for most people, I think Drupal 5 will be faster than Drupal 4.7. It's only in a couple of edge cases that your site will be about 3% slower.
Yeah, if you've got like, there's a lot of more customization possibilities in Drupal 5. Custom node types and custom block titles and stuff like that. And I guess that stuff could probably slow things down if you were to go the extreme case with it. That's cool. Were there any like bumps in the road with getting Drupal 5 out? Did it go really smoothly, or were there, was it longer or shorter than you thought the beta cycle would be? And
no, I think it went rather smoothly. It took a while, but there was nothing particularly outstanding which needed to be fixed. It's just that, you know, we didn't want to rush the release, first of all, because we wanted all the major contributed modules to catch up and be ready for the Drupal 5 release. And on the other hand, we didn't really want to release in the middle of all the holidays like Christmas and New Year. So at least for me, it felt like Drupal 5 was sort of ready for a couple of weeks already before we released it. So we just waited a little longer.
To happen to line it up with the Drupal birthday.
Yeah, and that as well. It's both the timing for the release as well as for the contributed modules.
Sure, and you can eat two cakes in one day.
Yes.
The Drupal birthday cake and the Drupal release cake. So
absolutely.
We definitely did that.
I think it really worked. We got a lot of good coverage. Lots of people were happy with it, with the new release. So,
I'm really excited. I mean, definitely the stuff that sort of we on the inside can easily take for granted is the stuff like the new theme and the installer and even the administration stuff, although we do sort of deal with that more often. But definitely for people just downloading it and installing it for the first time, it's a whole different experience in Drupal 5 now.
Yep, I agree. So yeah, Drupal 5, really is was a release for the user, and not so much for developers, I think.
Right.
And I hope actually with Drupal 6, I would like to see us focus more on the developer again.
Hmm.
So.
Right. So there's a new release versioning, and Drupal 5.1 is out already.
Yep.
How did that go? Did people have a hard time adjusting to seeing an entire point release coming out so quickly after the Drupal 5?
I didn't hear too many complaints about the new versioning number. So really what happened is, using the old scheme, the old versioning schema, we would probably have called it Drupal 5.0.1, where D1 really means the bug fix number. But now we decided to remove the middle number. And so bug fix releases will be 5.1, 5.2, 5.3, and so forth.
Have you thought about it this far, but will you use like the PHP numbering scheme? What would be the number after Drupal 5.9? Is it 5.10?
Oh, yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Right.
Yeah. And every major Drupal version will now increment the first number. So the next Drupal version or the next big Drupal release will be Drupal 6. So we won't be in a scenario anymore where we are spending years and years on the 5 release.
Right, right.
Like we did with 4.
Well, let's talk about Drupal 6. It's always amazing to me how quickly focus shifts from one version to the next with Drupal. The release comes out and I expected just sort of like everyone to go on vacation and party for a few weeks and that kind of thing. But already there's new stuff that has gone into the head version, which will become Drupal 6. And, it's kind of wild to see people thinking about this stuff. I mean, I guess, like I said in the last podcast, people are just thinking about this stuff anyways, and they sort of set their patches aside. And when the development version opens back up again after the beta period, the code freeze during that period, they kind of all comes in. And there's been some really neat stuff, particularly with the menu system stuff, that looks very really exciting. What are the things that you're seeing coming in, and what are the things that you're sort of hoping for in the next in Drupal 6?
So the menu system you just talked about is already partially in. So basically what happened there is a while ago, Caroli at CHX figured out a new way to store and retrieve menu items. It's a complete redesign of the old system. It's going to be easier to use. The code is going to be a lot faster as well. So hopefully that will buy us a nice performance improvement there. So that's already being worked on. And then there's already in the head version are a number of small usability improvements. But other than that, I think, like I said, the Drupal 6 release will focus more on the developer, at least from my point of view. Because if you look around, it's really quite obvious that websites are becoming a selection of independent components. We have things coming up like OpenID, Amazon S3, the Electric Cloud, and stuff like that. And I think this is an important paradigm shift, for the web in general, but also for Drupal. And I would like to see us embrace some of these technologies. Especially those technologies which are open or based on open formats and open protocols like OpenID and Jabber. So one of the things I would really like to see included in core is an OpenID client. So I think that's really cool.
So using a lot of these, sort of leveraging the web services that are out there, which will sort of even more prepare Drupal for sort of mashup kinds of stuff that's been done a little bit in the past, but could be even more.
Yep.
So what is OpenID?
Essentially it's an open identity system which is decentralized. So you get to create an OpenID ID which you can use to log in into multiple websites.
Oh,
so you have
I see.
A single ID.
Cool, centralized kind of thing. That's cool because Drupal has sort of an centralized. Well, it's not distributed authentication system, but it's a little hinky, and it would be good to sort of build on something that was kind of
right. So
standard.
Yes, that's exactly the
cool.
thing.
And then there's a lot of these other sort of systems out there that are coming together. Other sort of web service kind of things, centralized kinds of things that Drupal could tie into OpenSearch, and you mentioned Jabber, and it's all interesting stuff. I don't know much about all of it, but I would like to learn more. Maybe someone will do a session about it at next month's conference, and I can find out. Woohoo.
Hopefully. the thing is, as we're finally moving toward a world where there's lots of different web services talking to each other, we really want to accomplish a number of things. I think, like, for example, this means that HTML shouldn't be the only or the main output format. So right. If we want to embrace these things, we need to start focusing more on XML,
mm-hmm.
because that's the language web services use, and it's also going to be more important for mobile application as well.
Right. Cool.
And then the big thing in my mind is that we'll need well-defined data models and APIs to use these data models. And this has been raised by various Drupal developers. I mean, it's certainly not something I came up myself, but the thing is that if we have these well-defined data models, integration with web services will become easier because,
just because everything will already be sort of formatted in the way, and you can just sort of output
yes.
it. However, so this
Plus
is the this also... is the what's being sort of talked about is the data API, which is sort of the future of the form API. Is that correct?
Yes, Adrian architected most of that and gave a presentation about it a while ago. I'm not sure if that presentation is online, but we learned a lot of things about the form API, and we're going to take these IDs and transform it into a more generic data API, which we can use to describe
And we're already starting data. To see little bits and pieces of that, like the node in Drupal 5, the way that the node rendering happens. There's a new attribute of the node called content. Is that correct? And the body is generated out of that, and that uses the same sort of formatting as the form API. But I think we're gonna see more of that stuff. So for developers out there who have yet to figure out the form API, and believe me, I understand where you're coming from. it's getting to be time to figure it out because you're gonna see more of it. So. Cool. So some of the CCK stuff got into core with Drupal 5. You can configure node types and titles and add new ones and even delete things like story and page and stuff like that. But CCK fields haven't yet made it into Drupal core. Do you think that's something that could be happening soon?
It's certainly something we want to see happening. But it also relates back to the data API and having a good way to describe data models, because this is really needed to start describing content types. And it's also one of the things which will make it easier to add support for custom field types in core. And so what I think will happen is that we'll work on the data model stuff more, and at the same time we'll be working on the field stuff for the CCK, and then hopefully everything will come together at one point. And then we have more complete CCK in core.
Hmm. So where does the line between what is in core and what is in contrib, how do you sort of determine where that line is?
It's something we determine by discussion. We look at that on a case-per-case basis, and then we see what the general consensus is, and that's what we usually go with.
Right, because, I mean, there's a certain amount of contribution modules out there that are very, very widely used, very widely respected, and yet are not part of the core Drupal when you download it. And I think some new people sort of have trouble kind of figuring that out. They see Drupal doing these things that their Drupal doesn't do, and they don't quite understand why that's happening. But there's some of that, and I guess also, I mean, I also sort of see the contributions repository as like a separate place where people can kind of test out these things and kind of I don't know, wear down the path a little bit before it goes into core, so it's truly tried and true.
Yeah, that's exactly the way it is. Oftentimes, the contributed repository is sort of a place where new things can be tested, or where we can experiment with ideas and concepts. And also, oftentimes, in the life cycle of a certain Drupal core release, we'll see really cool modules being invented, and then we see them evolve to become really popular. And at the time, we might consider to include them in the next core release of Drupal as well. So it's often a little bit of an incubation thing as well.
Right, right. So people can test them out and stuff. I mean, like, I guess, some people, I know that, like, Earl Miles with the Views module has sort of taken a stance that he doesn't want it to be part of core because it wouldn't allow him to make changes and fixes and improvements as quickly as he is. And it would be... because it's such a huge thing. I mean, Views would probably take up half of the core download or something like that. So, it's an interesting ecosystem. What are other ways that people are using Drupal that core might accommodate more? I mean, I know that there's been talk about sort of Drupal has been. People say, you could use Drupal as your wiki, but it's not really quite like a wiki without a lot of configuration. Are there other things like wikis or including a wiki that might be sort of in Drupal's future?
Generally, I think with the Drupal 5 release, we included support for install profiles, which might be the answer to that question, because people will be able to take a Drupal core and add functionality to it, even create default configuration values and options, and then distribute them as a whole. So what someone could do is create a wiki package out of Drupal and distribute it as such, would probably make it a lot easier for people to start using Drupal as a wiki, because not every single user would have to figure out how to set up Drupal to be a wiki.
Right, right. So are we seeing a lot of these distribution profiles starting to come together? And is there, I don't think that there's a section on Drupal.org for those yet. Is there, will those be like supported like projects, or how's your vision of how those might come together? Would people just sort of host those on their own sites? And
no, so there's actually quite a few people already working on install profiles. And the way we're going to handle these is we're going to add a section to the download page. And like you said, it's going to be much like projects, probably, so people can start creating profiles on the Drupal infrastructure. And initially, what I really would like to see happen is that people are able to describe these profiles using the install files. And then the Drupal infrastructure would be smart enough to package these distributions. So,
oh, wow.
Like that, not every single distribution would have to make copies of certain modules and then keep these modules in sync. So ideally, we would have a smart system in place which takes all the bits and pieces and brings them together in one package.
Wow, that's amazing. So,
Well,
it would be. The concept is amazing. It doesn't exist.
Yes.
But maybe, you know, other people hear this and think that it's amazing and want to work on it. But yeah, that would be really great. Because this is the problem with distributions is supporting them and keeping them in sync. And, you know, Civic Space, it just became a really big part of their distribution was supporting it was, you know, people had bug problems and it didn't quite work right. It didn't quite install right and stuff like that. And that's a
challenge with distributions. I mean, creating a distribution is easy. You just take core, you add some modules and default configuration settings. I mean, everybody can create a distribution in a couple of hours, especially if you're familiar with Drupal and all its modules. But the challenge is really maintaining this distribution and making sure that all the modules are up to date, and that when a security issue is found, you make a new release and stuff like that. Because making a release also easily takes like hours of work, and supporting your distribution also takes many hours of work potentially every week. So it's the issue is not creating the distribution, but maintaining the distribution.
Right. And
if we can make a system which makes it easy or easier to maintain a distribution, I think we'll have much better distributions in general.
Wow. Yeah. And people could, that's really interesting and exciting to me. but that people could, you know, just download Drupal and it would come along with CCK and views and sort of what I would consider to be sort of the essential modules that I would want. You know, it would come sort of out of the box, ready to go, super Drupal.
Well, yes, I would argue that the essential modules like CCK and views, they really belong in core, and I would love to work towards including some of these in core as well. But I think where distributions can really shine is that they can be targeted towards certain user groups. Like we can have a distribution for Drupal in education, and then if we start targeting these markets, I think that's where the real power is with these distributions.
Right. So the yeah. Yes. That's my good interviewing technique.
Yeah.
Totally.
Absolutely.
What else do we need to talk about? Oh, we've got the DrupalCon coming up next month.
Yep.
It's official now. It's officially official. It's on the homepage of Drupal.org, and I'm just going to go there.
It's March 22 and March 23.
At Yahoo.
And it's going to be it's called the Open Source CMS Summit. Really it's called the Open Source Content Management System.
It's the Open Source Content Management System Summit and Blogging Conference or something like that. But it's very inclusive, and DrupalCon will be happening as part of that, sort of a subsection. So if you're concerned about going to this thing just because you want to do Drupal and you're not particularly interested in maybe some of these other things, you will have enough to do. It's not a problem. We will keep you busy. We will fully Drupalize your brain.
And at the same time, we also would like to invite all the other open source CMS projects to take part as well, because I truly believe we can learn from each other and share experiences.
Certainly. And definitely a lot of this stuff that we're talking about, this sort of distributed web service kind of stuff, is really, you know, cross CMS stuff that I think that people from a lot of different CMS backgrounds can benefit from understanding things like OpenID and OpenSearch a little bit better. I know I could. And right now, sessions are open. If anyone has ideas for classes they want to teach or sessions they want to give, go to the site and sign up. We've got a really pretty short deadline for that stuff. It's basically this week of this podcast. So if you're listening to this podcast next week, you probably already missed the deadline. Sorry. and you can also go and rate all the sessions that people are posting. So and we'll sort of decide which sessions to schedule when and what kind of, if we get too many, what'll make it and what won't and stuff like that, sort of based on people's interest. So go check it out. OSCMS-summit.com. No, .org? .org. Nonprofit.
Yep. Make sure to be there.
Yes. don't not be there. What else can we talk about? Any other stuff?
One of the cool things people are working on are the version checker. So,
what is that? A version checker.
Yeah. What did you
I thought you said virgin checker, which would
virgin.
That would be a whole different module, wouldn't it? Version checker. So how does that work?
So Earl Miles, he just committed some stuff to the project module, and now we can start building stuff which will query Drupal.org to see if you have the latest version installed of a particular module.
Oh, so as a new release comes out, it'll alert you on your on your module page.
Yep.
That's very cool. Yeah, it's nice that Drupal now displays versions of modules. Is that true? How does that does that get generated?
So there is an info file. So every module is now in its own directory. Then in that directory, there is also a small .info file. And in that .info file, there is a version number.
And that, but that there's some Drupal.org infrastructure that goes through and formats those numbers. Is that correct?
Yes. Because
it seems like when I download some things, I get funny little characters in there and stuff like that.
Yeah, it does add some of these for you. And then the system module in Drupal core will check your versions and see if they're still compatible and if all dependencies are matched. And now the next step, which will be in Drupal 6, will be then a way to get an alert when some module is no longer up to date. Or when, for example, when you release a security release of a module, you can get inline notifications.
Whoa.
So that's something which is cool, I guess.
Web services again, right? I mean, it's just pinging Drupal.org and it's good stuff. So would there ever be the possibility of a way for modules to be downloaded automatically? That process of sort of downloading and installing modules is seems like it could be streamlined. Are there security issues about that, or like in the way that Drupal works?
So the thing with automatically downloading and installing modules is it's that it's potentially insecure because your web server would need to have write access, so it could download and install modules for you. So that's one problem. And then the other problem is that when somebody would compromise Drupal.org, it would be able to have all Drupal sites in the world, or at least a lot of them.
Probably not good, is it?
No. So you could actually trigger them to download and install a whole bunch of exploits.
Hmm.
So there is some security issues about that, yeah.
Hmm. Well, so much for that idea.
Well, the idea itself is not bad. It could be implemented, but there is a whole bunch of security stuff which needs to be taken care of.
So for security reasons, the only directory in Drupal that is writable is the files directory.
Yes, yes.
And so everything else
is not writable.
Not writable.
And actually, the Joomla people have found a clever way to work around this. So they have an installer, which you can configure to use an FTP account. So if you have your server set up correctly, you can, the Joomla site can install modules by FTP. And so you can configure different write permissions for your FTP client than for your web server.
So the Joomla server actually, like the central server actually goes out and does stuff? It's not like you're requesting, doing a wget kind of a thing or a curl or something, but it's like a push technology?
Yeah, you FTP modules to your site in automated way.
Weird. Wow. Wild.
All right. But it's a way to work around the fact that you have to give write permissions to Apache or whatever web server.
Yeah,
you're
that
using.
Makes sense. Yeah, sure. You just push them into your site right from there. You don't have to download them. Yeah, that's a good trick. Those Joomla people, they're always thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, they've had an installer for quite a while now, so.
So one last question for you. Why are comments not nodes?
Can't comment or notes on that.
and user profiles too. Why are user profiles not?
Yeah, same answer.
would this conceivably be possible? Like a thing that I know. So okay, for people that are not knowing what's going on, there's been heated debate about this probably even before I really came into the community, and so whenever I bring this up with people, they just kind of roll their eyes and walk the other way and stuff. But what's sort of the history behind this? I mean, maybe we can just sort of quash this thing once and for all, and or maybe solve it once and for all.
I don't know. I mean, a note which represents things like stories, forum topics is really a powerful object. You can do lots of things with a note, like workflows, permission checking, and stuff like that. And so loading a note and displaying a note is potentially a very expensive operation. And if you're going to turn comments into notes, that means that you might pay a severe performance cost, which I don't think is a good idea. So for small sites, it might be perfectly viable to turn comments into notes, but for bigger sites, it's necessary for performance reasons that comments are something of their own.
Like usually a page would display the one node and potentially 200 comments on that node.
Yeah.
Huh. Still,
so, but
I'm still hopeful, though.
Well,
we implemented this a little bit for one of our sites that we did recently, and I think that there might even be a module to come out of it that could conceivably make comments into nodes. But of course, I mean, it's really a performance issue, I guess, and some testing needs to be done and stuff like that. But
not only performance issue, but also from a user interface point of view, it can also be confusing because all of a sudden on your administration backend, there is no longer a clear separation between comments and notes. And so it's hard to differentiate between them.
Yeah.
But there is a but. As we talked about the data models and the data API, and CCK, and we adding support for fields to CCK. This is going to require for us to actually come up with a data model and to have a way to add fields to nodes. And if we can abstract this in an elegant way, we might actually be able to reuse much of this for comments, but also for profiles, right? So there might be some overlap between the different types in Drupal right now, and like that, we might actually start converging all these things together. Hmm. So they might still not be nodes, but they might share a whole lot of code.
Hmm. Well, I'm still hopeful, but it's nice to be able to. There's certain cases where you'd like to be able to have, I don't know, taxonomy on profiles or upload pictures on comments, or those kind of things. So,
yeah, that's true. And there's been some discussion about that as well. And one possible solution that might be to create a new object type from which notes are derived, but also from which comments are derived, and potentially profiles are derived, and then to migrate some of the node functionality to the super nodes, which nodes are derived from.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe like that we can keep all the node-specific functionality to the node system and all the comment functionality, which is also shared amongst the comment system and the profiles and any other number of types. To a new container type. So that might also be a direction to solve some of these. And then categorization or taxonomy could be applied to the to the new object type. We don't have a, we don't even have a good name for it. So whatever it's, I mean, the super object thingy.
Yeah, I mean, because node is sort of a generic term, but yet node has a specific meaning in Drupal.
Yes.
And since comments are not nodes, then you need to refer, if some, something encompasses comments too, then you need to name it something other than node.
Yeah, so there is a whole terminology issue as well, but it's,
well,
yeah.
That would be very interesting, and especially, again, maybe that would be, yeah, that's sort of a developer thing, isn't it? Sort of how that happens and stuff like that. Maybe we'll sort of organize some conversation around that. At least try and – I know that Jeff Eaton and Robert Douglas did a bunch of work on this comments as nodes module kind of thing, and I'm hesitant to even mention it because I'm not sure if it's committable or what. But, of course, now I've mentioned it, so – I guess they'll have to answer.
No, I mean, it's certainly committable. It, I mean, it's not a bad thing.
Well, by committable, I mean committable to the repository as a
yeah, yeah.
External module. I'm not sure how sort of bulletproof it is, but definitely that would be a good, again, we're talking about the same thing. I mean, it could be a good place to kind of test it out as a concept.
Yes.
And then if it's good enough and ready to go, and sort of passes the benchmarks and stuff like that, maybe we could talk about putting it in core. Maybe.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm just saying.
I know. But creating such a module and sharing it with others is perfectly valid. I mean, it's the worst thing that could happen is that we could learn from it, right? So it actually allows us to experiment with this a little bit and to see what the users have to say about it and what the issues are. And, you know, maybe we come up with solutions for some of these issues and we eventually come up with a system where comments can be nodes or not. So
you could add extra fields to comments and stuff like that. It's very exciting to me. I don't know. And profiles. The profile system needs a little help. But these are my personal battle plans. I don't want it to sound like I got Dries on here to complain about these things.
But I think the first step would be to work or to help work on the data API, because that's going to make some of these things more easier and more elegant. And
so you'd be able to modify nodes and node output and stuff like that in the same way that you can have ultimate control over forms now. Wow. I'm still wrapping my head around it. I'm going to have to go to a couple of sessions at the DrupalCon next month and try and understand it. I missed that one in Brussels. Adrian spoke and I missed it, and I'll always regret that.
There's always so much to do and attend to at these conferences, so you can't go to all sessions.
But you can go to some, so don't miss a DrupalCon. Well, Dries, thank you so much for coming on the podcast again. If people want sort of more information about like the history of Drupal and a little more about Dries and stuff like that, this is Dries's second time on the podcast, so that you can go back into the Lullabot podcast archives and find the first one, and he'll explain to you why it's called Drupal and how it started and all that kind of stuff. And also, I guess that I just saw Moshe Weitzman put up a Drupal reminiscing sort of history of Drupal kind of thing, that session that he's organizing at DrupalCon next month. So hopefully that'll happen, and you know, people can, maybe there'll be cake there too. I just want cake. I've got a cake thing going on right now.
It's probably about lunchtime.
Yes, it is. It is. It is. It's almost lunchtime. Well, Dries, thanks again, and we'll see you in Sunnyvale. We'll see you then.
Yep.
Bye bye.
See you soon. Bye bye.